Good morning. It is the 24th of April, 2024. We are still in Eastertide, though Pentecost is approaching. It is now within sight. I had to take a look at the calendar for today before going live because there is this document that's forthcoming. I have my suspicions on what day they're going to release it, and we'll talk about that. I wanted to get a brief update.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Give, send, go that a viewer started after my news on Easter is going well. We're in the final days of it. We're going to end it here shortly. So I'll put a link in the pinned comment after this is done or in the live chat so people can engage with it as they will. For those who've supported, I do appreciate it. If you have donated to it, send me a copy of your receipt with private information blacked out, please, so I can add you to my early access email list, which goes out every Wednesday morning. Please do so because I want to thank people in the easiest way that I can. That's enough of that kind of stuff, though. We've been predicting for some time now that modernist Rome was going to issue a document on Marian apparitions. This has been a whisper from Rome since at least Christmas that we've been hearing this, that those with good sources in Rome have been predicting, based on what their sources in the Vatican are telling them, that there's a document in the works from Rome that's going to fundamentally change how the church looks at apparitions. It seems that they're being vindicated now, though we should be cautious and not making too many assumptions about the contents of this before going into it. So we're going to go now to the National Catholic Reporter, which gives us, well, it's going to give us this headline when I am a little more on the ball about bringing this up. So we get this from the National Catholic Register, not Reporter. The Register is part of EWTN, okay? Cardinal Fernandez, new document on discerning apparitions being finalized. The last time the Vatican's doctrinal office issued a general document on apparitions was in 1978 during the final months of the pontificate of Pope Paul VI. And there's a smiling face of Fernandez, whom I know many of you don't like seeing, so we'll just leave him on screen there. I'm going to say something. Here's a hot take for you. Not every subject the Vatican has ever ruled on needs to be revisited. At least not that frequently. I know 1978 was 46 years ago. That may seem not recent to many people, but in the grand life of the church, that's actually a pretty recent innovation. If the issue is pressing, and given Medjugorje, Mission Divine Mercy, plenty of alleged prophets like Maria Divine Mercy in the Book of Truth, and who knows how many others, all of which people are either stridently and strongly in support of the messages coming from there or stridently opposed to, causing a lot of consternation and division among believing Catholics, Francis and Fernandez could just speak publicly, reiterating what their predecessors have said on these topics, and leave the subject at that. The church has ruled we don't need to revisit it. They could do that, but they won't. It's long been rumored again that they're going to undercut Marian prophecy. If you remember, when we started talking about this a few months ago, the rumor was that they were saying an apparition, that they were going to make the claim that any apparition coming with dire warnings of an imminent chastisement from heaven isn't in reality from God, because according to the proposed logic from Rome, God doesn't chastise his people that way, not anymore. History begs to differ. Scripture begs to differ. Again, that's what we've been hearing from people with solid sources in Rome, that's what's coming. Such, if that is the direction of this document, that would eliminate Our Lady of La Salette, Our Lady of the Good Event of the Purification in Ecuador, Our Lady of Akita, and yes, Our Lady of Fatima. But they're probably not going to do it that explicitly. I'll tell you why after this look at this first part of the article, but I want you to remember Dignitas Infinita and the number of people who saw all the good things in that document who couldn't see the underlying errors in it, this concept of infinite human dignity. A lot of people just refuse to see it, wanting only the good stuff in that document and willing to essentially accept the bad. Here's what the article has to say, though. Quote, that Icastery for the Doctrine of the Faith is putting the finishing touches to a new document that sets out clear rules on discerning apparitions and other such supernatural events. That Icastery's prefect, Cardinal Victor Fernandez, told the Register April 23rd that he and his staff are, quote, in the process of finalizing a new text with clear guidelines and norms for the discernment of apparitions and other phenomena. The Cardinal, who met with Pope Francis in private audience on Monday, did not divulge any further details on the document, nor exactly when it will be published. The last time the Vatican's doctrinal office issued a general document of apparitions was in 1978, during the final months of the pontificate of Pope Paul VI, end quote. So with Dignitas Infinita, it was about 2 to 3 weeks from the time we heard about Francis and Fernandez meeting privately to discuss the document until it was released. 2 to 3 weeks. And they like to release documents on either important feast days or on feast days that had been on an old liturgical calendar. Fiducia Supplicans was released on a Marian feast day that had been taken from the 1962 calendar. It was on like the pre-1955 liturgical calendar. But it was a rather kind of a big deal one having to do with purity. And they took and released that document on that day. Since that document is talking about apparitions, the obvious choice is, of course, May 13th, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. That would be brazen if it contains errors on this, if it undercuts Marian apparitions the way the sources in Rome are saying, that would be a brazen move from them. Other choices would be on the Feast of the Ascension or on the Eve of Pentecost. May's busy this year. We've got all that happening in May. But my money is on the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, given the subject. It's just too much of a coincidence. And just glancing at my calendar on my desk over just behind my monitor, it's on the 13th of May. Well, 13th of May is on a Monday this year. So they could release that document minutes after I stopped my live stream that morning. You see how this works? So they like Marian feast days. This is a subject about apparitions and other such related phenomena. And that would be the most logical day for them to release this, would be at some point on May 13th. And they tend to like to do these things at about 6 a.m. Central Time in the United States, because it's right around lunch on in Rome that day. But let's go back to the article for some historic context. Quote, in norms regarding the manner of proceedings and the discernment of presumed apparitions or revelations, the then Sacred Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, headed by the Croatian Cardinal Franjo Sepper, outlined the process the Catholic Church follows when investigating alleged apparitions or revelations. The document stated that the Church's responsibility is to first judge the facts, then permit public devotion if the examination is favorable, and finally make a judgment on the authenticity and supernatural character of the event. The document outlined the positive and negative character for judging the authenticity of such phenomena, and when and how competent ecclesiastical authorities should be involved, including eventually the Holy See. It stressed that extreme prudence should be used when investigating the facts. The most recent Vatican document regarding apparitions was issued in 2001 by the then Congregation for Divine Worship and Discipline of the Sacraments. In a, quote, directory on popular piety in the liturgy, principles and guidelines, the congregation drew on the Catechism of the Catholic Church and its references to private revelation, end quote. Now, the article goes on to talk about a popular alleged Marian apparition, which occurred in 1951 as an example of this. This is where it gets actually kind of weird. There was a seer, according to the article, in, I believe it was the Philippines, who later confessed to having fabricated an entire Marian apparition. And the Vatican didn't bother to make that revelation public until something like 50 or 70 years later, which is kind of weird, if it's true at all. Fernandez we're talking about, I don't trust the man. But that gives you a hint about a lot of this as well, what's motivating this. And I will remind people, I've said this before and I'll say it again, if you have a passing familiarity or a better than passing familiarity with the content of private revelation, whether they're individual mystics and seers going back to the apostolic era or various Marian apparitions, it would not be hard to fabricate a believable Marian apparition, at least the messages therein. That would not be that hard to do. All you have to do is be fairly well read on the subject. And if this account here of that seer in the Philippines in the 1951 is correct, Our Lady of Lipa, I believe it's called, then that's what happened here. And they just didn't bother to make it released, to release the private ruling on this that was made in the 1950s or the 1960s. They sat on it despite there being popular piety, popular devotion to it. And a lot of people were really upset that the Vatican refused to do anything with this apparition in the intervening years. It's caused like some divisions between the episcopate in the Philippines and the laity there in Rome. I don't know why they sat on it, but they chose to. So my real only prediction for this document besides its release date is this, that a lot of the contents of it will actually sound orthodox and fine. That's what I expect. But the devil will be in the details, like the errors always are, especially with Dignitas Infinita. Remember, most of us looked at the good things in it and said, most of us were critical of the document, looked at the good things in it, nodded, and then kept reading. And when we started coming across this concept of infinite human dignity, which conflicted with everything every great mind of the church, pope or doctor of the church, had ever written on the subject, that was for us the problem in the document, because you could then take that concept and run wild with it. It was an unpopular opinion, and I kind of suspect they're going to do something here like that as well. Speaking of errors, by the way, I want to pivot to something funny here. I don't know if you were on Twitter. For those of you on Twitter, you will probably not be terribly surprised that I'm bringing this to people's attention today. But Catholic Answers decided to do something strange. We'll zoom in a little bit further. Catholic Answers is launching its own AI, an AI priest. No, the AI priest will not be saying an AI mass. They're going to be engaging in AI apologetics. Why? Who thought this was a good idea? Well, the people at Catholic Answers thought so. Let's go and, in charity, read what they had to say in their long tweet on this. This is from the Catholic Answers Twitter account. No, I don't call it X, even though technically that's the platform's name. This is what they had to say. Introducing Father Justin, the new interactive AI from Catholic Answers. I suspect Justin is a reference to St. Justin Martyr, probably. Also known, if you're a Protestant watching this, Justin the Translator, or I think, I might be wrong, but I think that's who they're referencing here. So they say Catholic Answers, the number one lay apostolate of apologetics and evangelization, is excited to announce the release of our new Father Justin interactive AI app. This innovative digital application employs the latest artificial intelligence technology to provide users with faithful and educational answers to questions about Catholicism. Seekers may also engage in back-and-forth interaction to pursue further information with the 3D AI character. Our goal with the Father Justin app is to leverage the power of large language models, or LLMs, to create an engaging and informative experience for those exploring the Catholic faith, says Chris Costello, director of IT at Catholic Answers. Although this is not a substitute for human interaction with a priest, teacher, or spiritual advisor, we believe it can be a valuable tool to help our users better understand and articulate the teachings of the Catholic faith. The decision to use a parish priest character was purposeful. We wanted to convey the spirit and nature of the responses users can expect, authoritative yet approachable, drawing from the deep well of Catholic tradition and teaching, Costello explains. We believe that the presentation of Father Justin honors real-life priests and the role they play in people's lives, yet we are confident that our users will not mistake the AI for a human being. Yeah, okay, so I'm right. I read this once, but I didn't get all the way down here. They say the name Father Justin was chosen for this AI priest as a tribute to St. Justin Martyr, an early Christian convert and church father who is one of the patron saints of apologetics. The Father Justin app is available now on the Catholic Answers website at catholic.com. They're encouraging people to look at it. Yada, yada, yada. You can sign up for free. I have not signed up for it. There's Father Justin. This looks like an AI. This looks like a video game rendition from like 2004. So well done, Catholic Answers. The responses here are not exactly positive. You know, April Fool's was 3 weeks ago. Although they did have fun with response. Father Hal 9000 was their first option, but they thought better of it. You're getting a lot of people just concerned this will attract more unnecessary criticism than good. At least go with an avatar of a doctor of the church. I love you guys. I know you mean well, you're good folks, but I got to question this one. And I say this as constructively and kindly as I can. Believe it or not, not everything needs to turn into AI, especially Catholic apologetics. a priest saying, I hope you won't mind my pointing out gently that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I suspect, however clever this idea might seem, I think we need Father Justin to have skin on, not a series of zeros and ones, or even in due time, whatever that is. And other kinds of reactions that you can expect as being rather typical of this. Now, this isn't the first Catholic AI that's been made. There's also another one called magisterium.ai. I've played with it a little bit. They're not presenting it the same way at all. Like, you can ask this one a question about what does a church teach on private property rights, and it'll give you citations and things and tell you what you need. That's less of a trouble. This one has got the face of a priest, and from what some people have said, they've already explored it, and they're getting some they're asking it questions about decrees from Vatican II, and they're getting some predictably ambiguous and contradictory results because they're talking about Vatican II subjects, where the church said one thing before the council, then shifted, we'll say, what it taught afterwards. And so they're having predictable problems with it. Probably not the best idea they've ever had. Steamer says qubits are quantum computing bits. Well, thank you very much. Glad to have a tech expert in here. Musden says, I guess it matches all the AI Catholics these days. Yeah. So this is, there's problems with this, and I'm not the only one thinking that this is kind of a bad idea. Over at Crisis Magazine, they published this almost immediately. Should we have AI doing Catholic apologetics? The answer to that question should be an obvious no, but here we go. I'll just give you this from, who wrote this? Yeah, Eric Sammons. That's right. So Eric Sammons wrote this. Here's what he has to say. Quote, I can't help feeling some trepidation about this foray into artificial intelligence. As I noted above, I'm a former tech geek, and there's a reason for the former part. I have become more wary over the years of the negative impact of modern technology on our lives, so I don't embrace every new advance as an unqualified good or even as something morally neutral. Modern technology impacts us in ways we don't fully understand, and in ways I would say that make us less human. There's real concerns with AI beyond sensational claims of robot overlords, and I fear that the blurring of AI with real life could have long-term negative consequences on society. Further, and I'm sure Catholic answers would agree, apologetics is much more than just answering questions correctly. There's always a relational element to both evangelization and apologetics, meaning there's a human element, human interaction, the human being, the person you're engaging in, the person, the apologist, and the person who is asking questions, the truth seeker. There is a relationship that gets developed into it. Anybody who's ever converted can tell you that they converted at least in part because there was a human relationship involved, that they developed a relationship of trust with another human being who helped guide them to the truth. Okay. So, for example, someone is going to hear an apologetic answer differently from a close friend than from someone they don't like or from a stranger. Who knows how they will receive it from a computer pretending to be a priest? Human society is made up to be modeled after the Trinity, which is an eternal relationship of three persons, and AI in many ways breaks that model. I understand the internet already started this process, but that doesn't mean every step in that direction must be taken. Another concern with Father Justin app is the decision to make the AI character a priest. Not only is Father Justin dressed as a priest, but in one answer he gave me, he actually started his answer with, as a Catholic priest. I understand that this was done to give him a certain air of authority. As Catholic Answer said, we wanted to convey the spirit and nature of the responses users can expect, authoritative yet approachable. But there's a reason impersonating a priest is a serious canonical crime. A priest is sacramentally another Christ and gets his authority not from knowing the most Catholic theology, but from his ordination. Having a lay person as the AI character would definitely make it seem less authoritative and less distinctly Catholic to the average user, but I'm not sure making him a priest was for the best. End quote. Obviously true. How many of you have met priests in life who were, by their own admission, not great theologians? Yes, they understood all the teachings of the faith, basic teachings of the faith. They could defend them, but you're never going to get whatever the modern equivalent of the Summa out of them. You're not going to get, they're not going to be publishing books on theology anytime soon, but they were also some of the best priests you've ever met for pastoral reasons. They got the faith and could communicate it in ways that were not theologically complicated. I have the most impactful priests in my life are like that. I suspect that's the same for most of you. And so there is a very troubling thing involved in this. It's the not only the elimination of the human element of apologetics, but also the elimination or the replacing of a simulacrum of a human being, a false sort of fake human being. This is deeply troubling. At least with like Magisterium AI, there's no pretensions. You input a question like you would with any of the other ones, and you just get a sort of a summary of Catholic teaching. It's never going to be the most popular thing. It's not meant to do apologetics. It's meant to just give you an answer to some question about that you will find the answer to in about 17 different magisterial documents. Magisterium AI is a tool. The Catholic Answers one, they say it's for apologetics. That's a problem. And Mr. Sammons is right. Not everything needs to be AI. I don't think, in fact, I'm not even that wild about Magisterium AI. At least it's just not putting on errors that are just so weird and undermines its intended purpose. Small Rail says an AI priest will be soulless. Right. I mean, how can anybody in good conscience say that an AI should mimic someone who's supposed to be in persona Christi? I don't know. For those of you who are joining us late, we began starting with the news from Rome. I'll reiterate it here very briefly that the document we've been predicting that sources in Rome say will be undercutting Marian apparitions has been announced. They did not say in the official announcement that it is undercutting Marian apparitions, but that has been the constant stream of information on the subject from Rome, from good sources, according to trustworthy sort of public figures that I tend to listen to on this stuff. That doesn't mean it's going to be in there. They do like to put out a bunch of false nonsense to help discredit their adversaries when necessary. But that is what that was announced yesterday. Francis met on yesterday, Monday, or 2 days ago on Monday. He met with Cardinal Fernandez. And the last time they did that, it was about 2 to 3 weeks later that we got Dignitas Infinita. So my prediction is that this document is going to be May 13th, Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. I could be wrong about that. I'm probably wrong about that. But that's the day that seems most logical. Something tied to like the Eve of Trinity Sunday or the Eve of Pentecost would also make sense. There's a couple other days in May that would make sense for that as well. But Our Lady of Fatima, Monday, May 13th, seems to be the most logical for it. And the other prediction I give you is that it will probably be like Dignitas Infinita. Up front will be a whole lot of good stuff. It'll be the things but justifying the good things. That'll be the problem. And because of that, people will get lost in the weeds seeing the good stuff. And they won't see the viper waiting in those weeds. Like what did happen with Dignitas Infinita. That's because I had a generally unpopular take with Dignitas Infinita, as did a lot of other traditionalist theologians, which I am not calling myself one of those, to be clear. All right, folks, let's take a look. Jimbo, come on, man. AI equals Satanism. Maybe. I don't know. That's above my pay grade, but I don't trust AI in general, though. I don't think Catholic stuff needs to be that way. I mean, if you want to develop just a search engine to help you find, you know, here's where all this stuff is, something like the Google search engine, basically, but for magisterial documents, I would be fine with that. But that's not what they're doing here. You know, that's actually, it's not Rome, it's Catholic Answers doing this, which is even funnier. Can you address whether Magisterium AI hardly using any pre-Vatican II records? I haven't really played with Magisterium AI that much, but I should go check it out again. Because if that's correct, then yeah, that thing deserves to just be forgotten about. Because our big criticism of Vatican II is that every part of, well, at least one of them, is that it seems like every pope and hermeneutic of continuity figure in the church since then, including Cardinal Mueller as an example, when they quote Vatican documents, it's almost always Vatican II documents, except for Vatican I. They like that one too. But beyond that, you rarely get Council of Trent, rarely get other things. Other than some example, the obvious exception to that rule being Bishop Athanasius Schneider, who does take an authentically, truly hermeneutic of continuity approach and brings in pre-conciliar documents, a lot of them, as well as post-conciliar documents. But yeah, I'll have to go revisit Magisterium AI. Maybe I'll go apply for a code with Catholic Answers one and then compare them if you want. But I don't like AI. It's unsettling. I'd rather deal with a human being because as the person who called it, as Jim's called it, I mean, there is something diabolical about the whole thing. I mean, we're creating an artificial consciousness, basically. Have Magisterium AI debate Catholic AIC long before they develop their own language. Ugh. Don't give them any ideas, please. Gregory says, maybe undercutting Marian app persons they don't like. Wait till they replace them with the... Yeah, I think you're... That might also be a thing. We'll find out. All right, folks. How does the new document jive with the Pope's desire to push decision-making to lower levels, assuming this document will take the local bishop's authority and give it to Rome? I mean, synodality is kind of a joke anyway. It really is. Francis said, we're going to let the synod discuss the fiducia supplicans topic, and then he issued fiducia supplicans like weeks later. So I don't know how much he believes in his own rhetoric on that anyway. Ina says, the problem is that people do not read everything anymore in the documents they are publishing, so people will just understand everything based on the first few paragraphs. Precisely. All right, folks, thanks very much for tuning in today. And as always, pray for the church. I'm Anthony Stein. Ave Maria.